Hello everyone, welcome to JTalk Extra Time, reviewing all of the latest J2 action. I'm John Steele, and joining me to help out this week is Richie Palmer. Gifu Richie. Richie, how are you doing?
Great, mate. Enjoying the rain.
Yeah, I suppose, talk about rain. We had plenty of saturated pitches and damp stadiums to talk about over the J2 weekend again, didn't we, Richie? If we're being positive, I suppose at least it's been a little bit cooler. Just to bring in some of our sort of middle-aged man chat that we had in the green room before we started recording. But thanks for joining me, Richie. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to be on.
So before we talk about J2, Richie, in the interests of completeness, we should mention the Emperor's Cup action that took place last midweek. There were a few games involving a J2 participant, weren't there? So in a game that was held over from round three, Matsumoto went down 2-0 away at Gamba Osaka. That was after extra time. And in the round four matches, Kyoto were beaten by Urawa. That was 1-0. And Nagasaki gave Kashima a little bit of a scare. Nagasaki were 1-0 up at half time in that game, but eventually lost 3-1. I know the start of the second half was delayed by, you guessed it, Richie, heavy rain. So perhaps that impacted on it a little bit. In the other matches, Gunma lost 2-1 at home to J1 Oita after extra time. And the only J2 side making it through to the next round were Iwata. They were pushed all the way, though, by non-league opponents Verspa Oita, but Iwata finally triumphed 1-0 after extra time, so they'll go into the draw for the next round, which will be taking place in September. So, not the greatest set of Emperor's Cup results for our J2 sides, Richie, but at least we have Iwata flying the flag into the next round. We should get down to business, though, and talk about J2. Richie, round 26 took place over the weekend, and the top three sides in the table, that's Iwata, Kyoto and Niigata, all won. But I think we can say that second-placed Kyoto definitely had the most comfortable evening, didn't they, winning 2-0 away at Mito. Peter Utaka set them on their way with a superb goal in the 13th minute, and then right at the start of the second half, Utaka went striding clear and then set up Tenma Matsuda, the captain, for a tap-in to make it 2-0. Ismaila, who we mention on every single pod, nearly added a third goal for Kyoto, but shot just wide of the far post. And Mito nearly did pull a spectacular goal back. Shota Fujio hit the post with a brilliant overhead kick, but it finished Mito 0, Kyoto 2. But Richie, Iwata and Niigata both had to come from behind to pick up maximum points from their games, didn't they? Iwata left it very late, but won 2-1 away at Kanazawa. Iwata were all over Kanazawa from the kickoff in this one, and the Kanazawa keeper Masaaki Goto had to make two saves inside the opening 2 minutes. And that pattern continued for the majority of the match, really. At times, this game seemed like a personal duel between Lukian and Goto, with the Kanazawa keeper seemingly on top. And this game was goalless, though, until the 72nd minute. And then, Richie, it was Kanazawa who took the lead with an absolutely brilliant volley from Yuji Senuma from a tight angle. I loved the reaction of the Kanazawa coach, Yanagishita. He had his head in his hands. I think he couldn't believe what he'd seen either. So Kanazawa were 1-0 up. But that goal just seemed to annoy Iwata, didn't it? And 4 minutes later, Lukian crossed low into the penalty area. And from the edge of the box, Yasuhito Endo calmly placed the ball past Goto and made it 1-1. Goto then made another great save from Lukian as their one-on-one duel continued. And then there was late drama in the 94th minute. Iwata's Kotaro Omori was brought down right on the edge of the penalty area by Masahiro Kanako. I think if you watch the replay closely, it's on the line, which means that it is inside the box. But the referee gave a penalty. And then in the 95th minute by now, yes, Lukian dispatched the spot kick. So it finished with the late drama, Kanazawa 1, Iwata 2. And then I'll just mention Niigata before I come back to you, Richie. Niigata also came from behind to beat Sagami Hana 2-1. This was at the Big Swan. Sagamihara shocked their hosts by going in front just before the half hour, when Jungo Fujimoto curled in a perfect effort from the edge of the penalty area. This was because the Niigata goalie Kazuki Fujita was out of position, and to be honest, Sagamihara were a bit lucky not to give away a foul in the build-up, as Ryuji Sawakami had bundled over a defender as part of a kind of untidy passage of play leading up to the goal. So, Sagamihara 1-0 up, but Niigata levelled almost immediately, Akito Fukuta drilling home from close range when the ball fell invitingly for him around the penalty spot. And then 6 minutes into the second half, Niigata completed the turnaround with Kaito Taniguchi firing a deflected cross into the roof of the net from close range. Taniguchi nearly added a third Niigata goal, but he clipped the top of the crossbar with a header. And it finished 2-1, but I don't know if you saw the highlights at the end of this game, Richie. I thought Sagamihara actually had a decent shout for a penalty right at the end of a stoppage time. They had a free kick, and someone in a white shirt, Sagamihara shirt, was definitely pushed over inside the Niigata penalty area. So I'm not really sure what happened with that. Looked like a penalty for me. But the top three as it stands. We've got Iwata top of the pile on 55 points. Kyoto one behind on 54, and then third place Niigata are 4 points further back on 50. And we should also mention Kyoto have a game in hand on both Iwata and Niigata. So Richie, the top three sides all won with varying degrees of difficulty. Did you learn anything new about Iwata, Kyoto, or Niigata from these games, do you think?
Anything new? I'm not too. Things we already knew. Peter Utaka. Like, wow. I actually thought Kyoto didn't have it all their own way in that game. Actually, I think like Mito started off pretty bright, and they used Matsuzaki and well on the right and Ito on the left. And they actually, they played real well, as they do. They entertained. And they were just undone by Utaka with that goal, which only he seems to score in J2. He's a monster. And even after that, Mito still attacked pretty well. And then again, Utaka came in to hold the ball up for the second goal for the assist. And I think it really just shows that Kyoto with Peter Utaka, I would say now I'm confident of them finishing in the top two right now. I think without Utaka, I'm not too sure. But with him there, I think he provides something that no one else in the J2 does at the moment. Don't know what you think about that, but would you agree with that?
I think that first goal, that Utaka's goal this weekend was breathtakingly good, to be honest. And I think the fact that he did it so sort of nonchalantly means it kind of almost passes you by how skillfully it's done. And I think Mito were beaten a little bit too easily by just one long ball over the top a couple of times mm-hmm. in that game, but it's not as if it was just a simple ball over the top for Utaka to run onto. He had a lot of work to do, and the finish was never in doubt, was it? I think I totally agree. He is the key to them getting promoted. I think as long as he stays fit and keeps scoring goals, I think they'll be fine.
Well, the thing is too, their play was, they were pretty simple, right? They just kept it simple, and they lob long balls up the front. It wasn't anything too spectacular from them, but they did what they had to do, and they knew they had Utaka, and they knew they had Ismail as well, who's always a threat when he had a good chance as well too, didn't he, in the second half. So they did all they had to do without, well, as manager Chorv does to teams, right? He's got them working nicely and smoothly. So I think they are looking good. Iwata, on the other hand, wow, actually they're looking pretty good too. They should have been, they really should have won that game about 5-1, shouldn't they? They had so many chances. And Hanazawa, I mean, Goto, saved their bacon quite a few times. And the PK, as you say, I'm a bit doubtful. It could be not given, could be given. I think Hanazawa are unlucky to lose that game from that PK. But at the same time, I've no doubt that Iwata deserved to win that game. Indo, great finish there. I think, they're looking pretty good. Yeah, I still think the jury's out on whether they can continue for the rest of the season, but I think they'll definitely be up there. And Niigata, I think their game was relatively easy. They controlled the play well. And I think for them, key was striking back right after they conceded, because if Sagamihara had held on for a while, I think this knee guts are a bit vulnerable at the moment, and I don't know what would have happened there. I think Sagamihara might have snuck a win there or something, but since they got their goal quickly, I think it got them back on the momentum back on their side, and they attacked well with Hoshi and Koh up the sides, and they defended well in the second half. But I think they're looking a bit vulnerable, and as you mentioned, the possible penalty shout at the very end, I saw that too, and I was thinking, that looked a bit dodgy. And didn't they lose their last game in the last minute? Or not lose, draw the last game in the last minute too, didn't they? So I think they're a bit shaky. I think the win's very important for them, because it will give them a bit of confidence, but it kind of depends what they do after this. Because really, if they are chasing the title, they probably should be putting Sagamihara away more than a 2-1. Like, they had, how many shots is that? 17 shots, I think. 17 shots, eight on target. But, Niigata's still looking shaky. Iwata, well, they're battling, and which we haven't seen from Iwata in recent years. And Kyoto, wow, yeah, they're just juggernauting on. I think that's all I'd say from those three.
Yeah, I think on Iwata, I believe that's the second game in a row where they've had to come from behind to win, isn't it? Because they went behind at home to Verdi in the previous round and came back and won 2-1. So you could spin that either way and say either, well, they're slow out of the blocks and they're conceding the first goal, or you could say, well, they're showing character to come back and win. I think getting a penalty in the last minute to win an away game is something that promotion chasing teams do. If you like, it's kind of expected. I think I pick up the point that you're making. I think it's easier to give a last minute penalty to Iwata than it is to give a last minute penalty to Sagamihara in away games. But that might be my small team bias.
Well, we'll come on to Omiya a bit later, but I think if you're in the I've seen this with Gifu for many years, of course, and other teams. But if you're in the relegation battle, then often these decisions don't go your way, whereas if you're a higher, more popular kind of team, you seem to get a few more decisions go your way, I think.
Well, they say that the harder you work, the luckier you get, don't they? We don't know how true that is, but yeah, there's certainly a few refereeing decisions for us to talk about later, aren't they? But yeah, I agree with your assessment of the top three. If we move on, Richie, I want to talk about what I think was probably the best entertainment from the weekend. The game between Yamagata, who are now fifth at home, to Ryukyu, who stayed in fourth. That's because this game finished 2-2 at Endai Soft Stadium. Now, Ryukyu took an early lead with a fine low strike from Hidetoshi Takeda in this match, and this goal came about thanks to Ryukyu's excellent high-energy pressing game. They were able to win the ball back when Yamagata took a short goal kick. But Yamagata turned the game around. We know how hot they are in terms of form at the moment. They turned this game around and were 2-1 up at the break, largely due, it has to be said, to a superb display from Hikaru Nakahara down the right flank. He scored Yamagata's equaliser with a curling strike from just outside the box in the 21st minute. This was after Yamagata's own version of the high press had forced Lee Yong-jik into a wayward pass at the back for Ryukyu. About 10 minutes after that, Nakahara crossed low for Taiki Kato to put Yamagata in front. He stole in at the back post to score. And Nakahara nearly made it 3-1 to Yamagata before half-time, but Ryukyu's keeper Junto Taguchi was down very well to save at his feet. And then it was kind of a seesaw second period, wasn't it, Richie? Going into the last 10 minutes, torrential rain was falling, and it kind of, I don't know if it contributed to, but it kind of coincided with an equalising goal for Ryukyu. In the 84th minute, their substitute Koki Kazama sent a great cross to the back post where an unmarked Shinya Uehara volleyed past Victor in the home goal. So yeah, this game finished 2-2. For anyone who's watched the DAZN highlights package, though, I have to say I don't think the highlights tell the full story of this game, because Yamagata had a couple of great late chances to win it First with Vinicius Araujo when he went close, and then another substitute, Ryunosuke Kabayama, the kind of exciting dribbler who's on loan from Yokohama Marinos. He went even closer. He kind of produced a slalom run right at the end of the game, and this was ended by a brilliant save from Taguchi, who tipped Kabayama's shot onto the face of the crossbar. A stunning, stunning end to the game. Now, DAZN's highlights omitted these chances completely, and instead they showed a shot from Yuku's Thai substitute, Sitichok Paso, a shot that went well wide of the target. I don't know what you make of that, Richie. Am I perhaps they're trying to appeal a bit too hard to the Asian market there by kind of redefining the narrative of the match? But it finished Yamagata 2, Ryukyu 2, and that means that Yamagata's winning streak stops at 7 matches, which, to be honest, is still not bad going, is it? I thought this was a fantastic game, Richie. What did you make of it?
I agree with everything you just said there, and with the highlights thing too. Like, why did they not show all those shots? I think definitely the game of the round. I think Okinawa Aussie would have been probably sweat off 5 kgs just watching the second half, especially. You know what's going on. I think this game showed the both of the strengths and the weaknesses of both these teams. And that is basically that going forward, they both look pretty great. They both look awesome, don't they? They pass well, they run well, create chances, score, you know, really well. But in defense, there was probably some pretty bad defending for all of those goals, I'd say. Ryuk, as you mentioned, I don't think I've ever seen so many clear counter chances that Yamagata had 2-on-1 or 2-on-2, and they just didn't look like they wanted to score, did they? Like, oh, I'll pass it to you. No, I'll pass it back to you. Oh, do you want to score? No, I'll pass it back to you. Oh, you missed. Oh, you know, it was a bit. I think the Yamagata passing game, I think at the end, who was it at the end? The Kawata, I can't think who it was, that took the shot for himself and was saved by Taguchi. I forgot who it was. He just took the game into his own hands, but I think they need to be a little bit more ruthless. I think Yamagata probably should have won that one with the chances that they had. And but Taguchi for Ryuki was outstanding, and he definitely saved their bacon. I think Okinawa Aussie was saying on Twitter that they need some more defenders, and I probably agree with them there. I think they both still definitely got a chance going up. They probably both need to tighten the defense a little bit. But I think at the end of the day, it was a hard-earned point by both teams. And I think they'll both be reasonably happy with their display and what happened, especially in the conditions.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. I think both teams kind of gave as good as they got, didn't they? I think Yamagata could have ended up winning 5-2, or Ryukyu maybe on another day could have snatched it and won 3-2. But I think considering the amount of attacking that both sides did, a score draw is probably the only kind of fair result that could have come out of the match. But yeah, I agree. I think Junto Taguchi has really shown again what a great goalkeeper he has the potential to be. And the point that Johnny Nicol was making on the pod last week was that, you know, if Ryukyu don't get promoted this season, the fact that there's no playoffs means that some of these players like Taguchi might be very much in the sort of shop window, which is possibly a shame for them. But he's been absolutely brilliant in goal, hasn't he? And I always enjoy Takuma Abe up front as well. But you mentioned there's a real embarrassment of riches on both sides in terms of attacking talent. It seems kind of it's almost rude or morally wrong to pick out one player when the attacking is so good from both teams. We should add that Yamagata have signed the former Yokohama Marinos, Urawa, and Sendai attacker Martinez, haven't they? I think that's been officially confirmed today. So they now have another sort of tricky dribbler to try and fit into that front six. When I tend to agree with you, I think it's perhaps a centre back where they should be looking to add players. But brilliant entertainment. So we can't say I don't think we can criticise either side too much. Slightly less entertainment on offer in the game involving Kofu, Richie, who are now sixth. They'll be kicking themselves after they let in an injury time equaliser at home to Jeff Chiba, won't they? This game finished 1-1. Willian Lira had a good chance to put Kofu in front early on, but he was denied by a good save from Shota Arai in the Jeff goal. But Kofu were ahead midway through the first half thanks to a penalty. Poor old Jan Mingyu, who was discussed at length on the pod last week, not entirely positively, put in a clumsy challenge on Hirohiro Sugai inside the box. Penalty was the only logical conclusion, and William Lira tucked away the spot kick, so Kofu 1-0 up. And goalkeepers took centre stage for most of the game after that. There were some pretty good goalkeeping performances, actually, across the weekend, weren't there? Kofu's goalie, Kohei Kawata, made great saves either side of half-time, first from Solomon Sakuragawa and then from Takaki Fukumitsu. And Jeff's keeper, Arai, made a superb late save from Jin Izumisawa. That was with about 10 minutes left, and I think a second goal for Kofu at that point would surely have killed the game and sealed the points. But then at the start of second half stoppage time, Jang made amends for his earlier clumsiness by heading in a corner kick from Takuki Funayama, and that gave Jeff a goal and meant that the match finished 1-1. And now, Machida's Elvia in seventh place, Richie, but we're going to talk about them a little bit more in part two. We'll just jump quickly to eighth place, Nagasaki, because they drew 1-1 in pretty heavy rain away at Akita. I think Nagasaki might be feeling similar to Kofu at the start of this week, or perhaps feeling like they dropped 2 points here. Nagasaki were well on top in the first half of this game, and Akita's keeper, Yudai Tanaka, was extremely busy making some good saves, and I think it was Kaito Chida, centre-back, who had to make a goal line block as well. But Nagasaki took a deserved but fortunate lead, if you follow me, in the 40th minute. Wellington Rato's volley took a wicked deflection off Naoyuki Yamada, and that carried it past Tanaka. So, Nagasaki were 1-0 up at half-time in this one, and it looked like Nagasaki were going to hold on and pick up a 1-0 win. But with the rain seeming to intensify and get heavier and heavier, Akita got a superb equaliser kind of out of the blue. Substitute striker Hayate Take curling in a brilliant strike from the edge of the box in the 75th minute. And that's how things stayed. So, Kofu won, Jeff Chiba won, and Akita won, Nagasaki won. Before we take a quick comfort break, Richie, what did you make of these two 1-1 draws?
Oh, super exciting they were. Kofu Chiba, Kofu, yeah, they just didn't create enough chances up front. I'm thinking Izumisawa had about three good chances, didn't he? And I'm kind of wondering what's happened to him, right? He's had some good chances. I was thinking he should have scored at least one of those, but he didn't. At the same time, Chiba have played pretty good recently. They're a harder team to beat than they have been in the past, so... Again, I mean, I'm thinking, Kofu aren't going to go up. I'm decided to myself. I think they're pretty, as you keep alluding to every week, they're probably going to finish fifth or sixth or something. But it was an all right game. Akita Nagasaki, as you say, Nagasaki, should I say, 67% of possession, 18 shots. So, they should have had more, shouldn't they? But after they got the goal, I think Akita played pretty good. I think Oki looked good when he was on, and and I think they used the width of the field quite well, kept things simple, and it was a great goal by Take. And they actually had a chance to win it in the end, a couple of chances actually. So they made a game of it in the end, but I think it's a valuable point for Akita, who just keep plugging away, keep getting the points, stacking them up. And Nagasaki again, wow, they'll be unhappy, but they do have a game on Wednesday to maybe make up for it if they can.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, we should say, yeah, there are a couple of rearranged midweek games coming up, aren't there, that we can talk about when we kind of preview the games that come up. I think Kofu and Nagasaki, they don't really play the same style of football, but they do have, I think, the same, well, some of the same issues which were kind of highlighted this weekend, weren't they, which is they have more than enough ability to create chances and score once, but they're not quite clinical enough somehow to add the second goal or the third goal to seal games. And then that means you're always susceptible to letting in a soft goal, at the other end. And I think both of these games, if you're serious about promotion, I mean, I think if Kyoto go 1-0 up in either of those games, they win. You know, I think same for Iwata, whereas I think Nagasaki, it's unfair to kind of mention, to bring back the Emperor's Cup game from the previous midweek, because that was a slightly different, you know, squad, and they're playing against a very strong opponent in Kashima Antlers. But, you know, again, they were 1-0 up at half time, but couldn't hold it or couldn't add to that. Probably the first time Kashima and Akita have been compared for a while, so there you go. But yeah, same for Kofu. I mean, we see that, like, Jin Isumisawa, yeah, he's always in the right position, but he's just not finishing. You know, he's always, you know, shooting straight at the keeper or allowing the keeper to make saves that they shouldn't be making. And Willian Lira is occasionally deadly, but more often than not, you know, it's quite powder puff stuff from him, I think, up front as well. So yeah, I think you're right, Richie. And I think in a regular season with playoff places, both of these two might be a good shout for maybe fifth or sixth, you know, and getting into the playoffs that way. But I think for this season, I think they just left themselves with too much to do. Now we've still got a few, you know, plenty of games to play, but it's a tall order to see them forcing their way into the top two now, isn't it? I think, yeah.
But I would just say Nagasaki do have two games in hand, don't they? So if they did win both of them, they'd be in fifth now, wouldn't they? So, but yeah, they really have to start moving about now, don't they? Both teams, if they really want to do anything.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, if Yamagata had the two games in hand, I would expect them maybe to win both with the form that they're in. But Nagasaki right. having two games in hand is like, well, is that going to be 6 points, 3 points, or 2 points? You kind of don't know, but yeah, it's a good point, and yeah, we should talk about teams with games in hand when we talk about the midweek games later on. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I think my gut feeling is they both of these sides have just a little bit too much to do, and it's funny, I can see some parallels between Jeff and Akita just at the moment. They're both kind of, you know, Jeff games haven't been very entertaining recently. I think it's fair to say about Akita too, but they are very much kind of a. They're in the phase of being back to basics, I think, and just making sure that they have enough points in Akita's case to stay in the league. And I think with Jeff, it's about trying to build a foundation, a platform where they can be a bit more expansive and attacking next season, maybe. But yeah, very interesting to see two matches finish 1-1 and have some parallels like these two, I think. Richie, thanks for the insight so far. It's sounding pretty good. I think we'll just take a quick comfort break, and when we come back, let's switch our attentions to the very intriguing relegation battle, where there were some surprise wins over the weekend. Welcome back, everyone. Richie and I had a quick recording break, so we're refreshed and ready to go again. Richie, to continue our review of the J2 weekend, if it's okay, we'll switch gears and look at the bottom of the table. Now, we already talked about Sagamihara losing away at Niigata, and that sees them slump to the bottom with 20 points from their 26 matches. They're level on points with Omiya, second bottom Omiya, who lost 1-0 in fairly controversial circumstances away at Okayama. At the weekend. Now, Okayama well on top in the first half of this game, and they were 1-0 up at the break thanks to a towering header from Ryosuke Kawano. A deep left-wing cross from Tomohiko Miyazaki provided the chance, and Kawano just really, really wanted to head that ball into the goal, didn't he? And nobody on the Omiya side was very interested in stopping him. So, 1-0 at half-time to Okayama. The controversy started about 10 minutes into the second half. Richie, Atsushi Kawata equalised for Omiya, and I'm doing air quotes here because the goal was disallowed. He had a foul given against him here, but I don't really think he did anything wrong watching the replay. The defender tried to shield the ball and fell over, and I think the referees penalised Kawata for that, but he was not very impressed with the decision, and if you watch the replays, you can see why. Midway through the half, almost incredibly, Kawata had another goal disallowed. And again, he didn't seem to have done anything too bad. The Okayama goalkeeper, Togo Umeda, spilled a shot, something which I've noticed him doing quite a few times since he came into the team. And Kawata swept the loose ball into the back of the net. But again, the referee blew for a foul. I think maybe he thought that Umeda, the goalkeeper, had had the ball in his hands and Kawata had kicked the ball out of his hands. No chance that was the case. The ball was clearly loose. But yeah, what can we say, Richie? When you're down at the bottom of the table, these things just don't go for you. And it finished Okayama 1, Omiya 0. I'm slowly coming to the realization that Omiya are in deep, deep trouble. Richie, what did you make of this game and some pretty odd refereeing decisions?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I'll just say, just quickly on Okayama, I think they started pretty good and they look well with Duke, don't they? Because Duke, he holds the ball real well and he gets defenders coming to him. And that first goal, the only goal that they scored, pretty much he fell over in the goal box. And I think some of the Omiya players just stopped. I think, must be a foul or something. And then they went to sleep and then the goal was scored. But definitely, I think I'll just say quickly, Okayama, I think they're looking all right with Duke in the team. But Omiya, wow, those two goals, Kawata, those two non-goals. The first one definitely should have been a goal in my book. But I will say in J2, as you would have seen over the years, there are many fouls given and they're almost always given to the defenders. And it's not, you see these kind of calls quite often. It's not a surprise, but it definitely should have been a goal. And then the second one, of course, with the fumbled ball, again, you watch that in real time. That's a goal. Slow motion, it's a goal. The keeper, after he lost the ball, he puts his head on the ground. Oh, shit, what have I done? That's a telltale sign. He knows he's screwed up. It's a goal, but it's not. Feel sorry for me in this one. They played a better second half, and I don't know if a win would have been deserved. At least a draw would have been deserved, but very unlucky. And I think that's the way, as we were just talking about before, yeah, when you're in the bottom, decisions go against you. And I feel very sorry for them. I'm not too sure if they should be in trouble. They should be worried, of course. But I'll give it a week or two. I will say something, John. Do you know that no team in orange has been relegated to J3 yet?
I didn't know that. That's a good stat.
So there you go. So you got Omiya, you got Ehime, you got Yamaguchi. You know, one of those three. Is one of them going to be the first?
Well, it could be three. Yeah. It could be the wrong kind of hat trick.
Yeah, but no, very unlucky for Omiya.
Yeah, I just to pick up, we should give Okayama some credit because they won the match. And I think Mitch Duke, they've kind of gone out and got the best possible Lee Yong-jae replacement, haven't they? Because he's been out injured for so long. And yeah, Duke looks, I believe, I don't know the ins and outs of this, but I think Mitch Duke, he was at a team in the Middle East before this,
I
think. And I get the impression he didn't have a very good time there. Mm. Because he tweeted something like, really glad to put, you know, my time at Club X behind me. I can't remember the name of the team. I think that didn't give it. He seems just really happy to be playing football. And he just adds a lot of energy to a team, which, I mean, Okayama energy is just supplied by Satoki Uejo only, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it's good to have someone else to help out on that front. And I think for Omiya, it's a tricky one, this, because in the second half of this match, they're extremely unlucky. They've created and scored two perfectly good goals. They've both been disallowed. That doesn't happen to Iwata, and it doesn't happen to big teams at the top of the table, but it does happen if you're down at the bottom and you're struggling. However, the wider context of the season is they've got themselves into this mess where they've only won three games out of 26. So I think I do have sympathy with them for terrible refereeing decisions in the second half of this particular match, but I still think it's kind of, you know, the referee didn't beat five defenders to head that ball into the net in the first half, and the referee isn't referees aren't responsible for them only winning three of the previous 25 matches. So it's difficult. I agree. I think they do have still a couple of games before it's time to really panic, but the omens are not good, are they, at the moment? It's not looking good.
Well, as we'll see soon, right? The other teams are starting to pick up wins, right? The teams down the bottom are starting to pick up wins. Like, I had a one last week. We've got the other results that we'll come on to in a minute. And, you know, if they're not doing it, then you're only going to dig yourself deeper, aren't you? So you've got to start soon.
When Omiya have played well recently, they've only got draws. you know, that they haven't got wins. So yeah, they've almost wasted good performances on draws, and then you know, get games where they should be winning, they haven't done it. So yeah, it's sad talking about Omiya at the moment. So let's move on. Just above Sagamihara and Omiya, but still inside the 4-team relegation zone, are Kitakyushu and Tochigi. They have 23 points each, but we should mention Tochigi have a game in hand. They've played one game fewer. Now, Kitakyushu, third bottom, shocked seventh place Machida with two late goals to come from behind and win at home. This game was all going well for Machida when they took the lead at the start of the second half. Dudu was sent clear by Leo Takai's flick-on, and he finished very confidently. I noticed with the grim inevitability that Kitakyushu centre-back Kota Munematsu was outpaced by an opposition striker for the second game running. I know he was left left for dead by, was it Fujimoto Ehime last week, wasn't he? And he was in a similar position this week. And it was nearly 2-0 to Machida on the hour when their captain Taiki Hinato hit the post with a pretty decent free kick attempt, and Machida were left to rue that missed chance, really, because with just 9 minutes to go, Takamitsu Tomiyama equalised for Kitakyushu when he headed in a deep left wing cross from Kenta Fukumori. This was an incredible sort of back flicked header. The technique on this goal was incredible. And just 4 minutes after that, Machida did a pretty weak job of defending a corner. The ball was cleared against Kitakyushu's Taiga Mayakawa from virtually on the goal line, I think, by Kota Fukatsu, who was the defender who tried to clear but cleared the ball against the Kitakyushu player. And it went over the line and into the net for 2-1. So, yeah, Kitakyushu 2, Machida 1. Kitakyushu's first win in 10 matches. And you wonder if they, not just the 3 points, but the manner which they got it might act as a bit of a springboard for them to build on. Tochigi, who are fourth from bottom at the moment, just inside the relegation zone. Richie, they had to recover from a dreadful start at home to Tokyo Verdy and eventually earned a 2-2 draw. Tochigi were 2-0 down after just 10 minutes in this game. Firstly, Ryota Kajikawa sent a junkie Koike clean through, and he went round Paul Obinobi in the Tochigi goal to slot home his 12th goal of a very productive season. Shortly after that, Takuma Hamasaki scored an absolutely fantastic free kick for Verdy to give them a 2-0 lead. Tochigi managed to get a goal back just before half-time when a poor pass from Jin Hanato, the Verdy striker, allowed the Tochigi strikers on loan from Nagasaki, Junki Hata, to advance on goal and beat the Verdy keeper, Mateus, with a fine rising drive. And Verdy clung on to their lead until the 72nd minute when a knockdown from Toshiki Mori was forced home by Sho Sato via a deflection to make it Tochigi 2, Tokyo Verdy 2, and that's how it finished. So, Richie, Kitakyushu, stunning victory really at home to Machida. I didn't see that one coming, winning 2-1. And Tochigi 2, Tokyo Verdy 2. Kind of an entertaining game, if a bit rugged at times, as we know, Tochigi games can be. What did you learn from these two matches?
I think we can make comparisons. Well, we'll just go to Machida here, being what are they at the moment? Seventh, are they? The fact that I think we can compare them to Corfu and Nagasaki, right? They had the chance to score, and they've had chances in other games, and this game included, to score more goals, but they don't seem to be able to get more than one, maybe two at the most, kind of. Like, you know, they started well, and then Kitakyushu had Tsubaki went off injured just for half-time. So, you know, it's quite a big blow for Kitakyushu. It should have been theirs to take, and it pretty much was, but they just got a bit complacent at the end. Took their eye off the ball for a minute. And I think, also Machida lost to Kitakyushu earlier in the year at home. So for Machida, these kind of games, you know, if you're losing to a team in the bottom twice, it's almost unforgivable, right, if you're trying to get promoted. On the other foot, Kitakyushu, great effort to stick with it to the end, because I'm sure a lot of the heads would have been down there, but they kept at it. And as you say, great heading goal for the first goal. Second one, that you could almost call an own goal. Bit of unluck, and a bit unlucky, but again, you've got to make your own luck in those situations. So very well done for Kitakyushu. Hopefully they can build on that and get out. For Tochigi and Verdy, you can't blame torture you for going down after those two goals by Verdi. They were like sensational. That pass by Kajikawa, was it, who passed through for the fisk? That was, wow, that was a great pass. Great pass, great finish, and the free kick. Like, you can't do much against that kind of play. That was a beautiful play by Verdi. And all Tochigi were doing was like lumping the ball up to Yano and Toyota, like trying to use their physicality and their height. And that didn't really work for them. At the end, they started pressing a bit more up the field. Yeah, they did well, I think, for them. Of course, coming from behind to get a point, I think they'll be reasonably happy. But was that Tochigi no win in 11 games, Verdi no win in 6 games? So they're not wins, but if you're at the bottom, you know, Verdi are in no man's land at the moment anyway, aren't they? They're kind of in the middle, not doing much. But for Tochigi, any point after coming from those two goals, I think, is good. They'll be, as we, they have a game on Wednesday again, don't they? So they've got a chance, a big chance to gain some points. I think they'll just be happy with what they did. Still plenty of room for improvement. They're still in danger. But they'll be slightly positive, I think, coming from this game.
Yeah, I think for Tochigi, it's a tricky one because I agree with you. You're 2-0 down at home after 10 minutes to what I think we can say is not a great team, but I think Verdi are better than Tochigi this season. However, they've battled back and got a draw, which is good. But yeah, you mentioned it's quite a few games since they had a win, and they've dropped into the relegation zone, albeit just by a single point. So I think sometimes psychologically for players it can be hard to have a game where you've tried really hard and got something, but your league positions worsened after that. So I don't think they should be panicking just yet. But yeah, they haven't been in great form, and it's not really, you don't want to be dropping into the relegation zone coming into the last sort of third of the season, do you? I know we're not quite there yet, but I don't know. I agree with you. I'm not saying they did wrong to get a point. Obviously, it's a good point considering the way the game went. But still plenty of work to do, as you said. And Keita Kyushu, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure they deserve to win necessarily against Machida. When the chances came, they took them. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Is that just one win and then they're back to kind of struggling, or will it actually give them something to go on? Because I'm not really sure they did anything particularly differently in this game. They perhaps just had some luck that they haven't had in other matches. But the relegation battle is shaping up to be more intriguing than the promotion race, I think, at the moment, isn't it? Isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, now, long-term listeners will be confused because we've talked about the four teams in the relegation zone without talking about Ehime and Gunma. So we should probably talk about them now. The reason we haven't mentioned Ehime yet, Richie, is because they are out of the relegation zone. I'll just say that again. Ehime are out of the relegation zone. Just by a single point, after winning a potentially huge game, this sort of relegation six-pointer away at Matsumoto. Matsumoto just 1 point and one place above Ehime in the table right now, but as with many other teams, Matsumoto have played a game fewer. Now, in this match, Matsumoto had the better of the opening exchanges. I think it's fair to say Ehime needed a goal line clearance and a superb one-handed save from their keeper Masahiro Okamoto to keep things at 0-0. And near the start of the second half, Kunitomo Suzuki fired just wide for Matsumoto as well. The vital goal in this game came 15 minutes from full time. Yoshiki Fujimoto got away down at Ehime's left, and his low cross was beautifully swept into the back of the net by Takamu Kawamura. Really nice finish. And there wasn't really enough time for Matsumoto to get back into this match, so it finished Matsumoto 0, Ehime 1. I don't think we'll ever say that Ehime are pulling up trees, Richie, but they're on an unbeaten run of 4 games, aren't they? 3 draws and a win. So they're starting to potentially have a platform to build on. And before I come back to you, where are Gunma? For confused listeners, Gunma are in the dizzy heights of 16th. This is after thrashing Yamaguchi 3-0 at home. Gunma now 4 games unbeaten as well. And level on points with Matsumoto, 25 points from their 25 games. Now, in this match, Kohei Shin set Gunma on their way with a smart finish from just inside the box. That came in the 15th minute. After that, Shuto Kitagawa missed a glorious chance to put Gunma 2-0 up when he missed a free header from, I think, less than 6 yards out. Funnily enough, though, Kitagawa had an almost identical chance 5 minutes before half-time, another totally unmarked close-range header, and this time he did find the back of the net. Yamaguchi didn't really heed the warning when he missed the first chance, so he was free again and scored to make it 2-0. Sorry, before the interval, it was actually 3-0. Some pretty lazy and inept defending from Yamaguchi allowed Yuto Nakayama to burst into the penalty area and fire a left-footed drive into the roof of the net. So yeah, Gunma 3, Yamaguchi 0 at half-time. It could have been 4-0 in the second half when Yamaguchi's keeper Kentaro Seki did just enough to palm an effort from Kazune Kubota onto the top of the crossbar. And a terrible night for Yamaguchi was really summed up by their substitute striker Kota Kawano somehow missing the target from about 2 yards out. He was virtually underneath the crossbar, wasn't he? And should have scored a consolation goal, but managed to clear the goal completely. So yeah, Gunma 3, Yamaguchi 0. Yamaguchi in 15th, but only 1 point ahead of Gunma and Matsumoto, and they've played a game more than both of those. So Richie, I can't contain my excitement here. It's Matsumoto 0, Ehime 1, Gunma 3, Yamaguchi 0. Did either of these games raise an eyebrow or two for you?
Well, Gunma, both did, but Gunma scoring 3 goals. Wow, definitely. They played really well. They played really well, and without Ginko Amai there, right? They played really well. Pretty much after halftime, they shut up shop and just kind of held off, which is all they needed to do. So Gunma, very positive result there. I think, on the other hand, Yamaguchi, they've been sitting reasonably safe kind of out of relegation territory. But now, as you just mentioned, I'm a bit worried for them. And as you mentioned too, even that last shot that they missed from 2 yards out, that you got to be thinking of points differential now too, right? If you're coming down to the bottom, and even that one goal could be the difference between being relegated or not, kind of thing, right? You really got to take the chances, even if you are losing 3-0. You know, it all starts to matter now, right? Because they have a worse points differential than Omiya, so there you go. You know, and Tochigi, etc. So you never know, but yeah, I'm a bit worried for them. I think Watanabe, the manager, is quite. He did very well with Sendo when they had them. Nothing spectacular, but just enough with what the thin squad that he had. And I'm still thinking he might just be doing enough, but I am a bit worried. Matsumoto Ehime, now Ehime, you were saying you're surprised about Ehime, but how long have you been watching J2, John? Because do you know every year, as I know too, being in charge of the J-Pred prediction competition, every year Ehime are pretty strong favourites down the bottom to get relegated, and every year they don't get relegated. Like, it's not too much of a surprise for me. They always have performances in them, and while definitely they still could get relegated this year with four teams going down.
Yeah, they're not safe. They're not safe yet, you know, Richie.
I know. I know. Four teams going down is definitely they could definitely get them, and they are not safe. But I'm just not too surprised that they got this win now. Against Matsumoto, played pretty well. I thought Ito played pretty well for them, but they looked terrible up front, didn't they? Right up front, they couldn't score when they needed to. And you know, Ehime, they seem to be a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde team. They'll either lose 4-0 or they'll, you know, put in a real performance like this one. And you can tell how much it meant to the players after the whistle, right? Now they're all celebrating and very happy. They're quite stoked with it all. So they're definitely in there for the fight. And I think, like, more than Matsumoto, I think. Like, Matsumoto, I don't think, are still thinking to themselves, oh, we're too big of a club to go down. You know, we'll be right kind of thing. We've got Sugino the skunk sitting there in the bank. You know, like, I think there's a different, you know, him would definitely know they're in the battle. But they're kind of battle-hardened. They're a bit more used to it than, say, maybe an Omiya or maybe a Matsumoto. Like, they're not, you know, it's not new territory for them. And they look very, they look pumped. So I'm not saying I think they're gonna not be relegated, but I'm not gonna write them off. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, I think Ehime, what will probably please the team, obviously winning the match away at Matsumoto's huge, but they kept a clean sheet as well, which doesn't happen that often. And Masahiro Okamoto is a keeper that I've criticised a lot And he had a really good game and needed to in this one. I think more big performances from him and that kind of, shall we say, fairly open three-man defence probably needed. And I think with Ehime, the X factor is, I think they do have just a couple of players who are, you know, really good J2 players. And I think maybe even higher for Yoshiki Fujimoto. You know, we know he scored his 8 goals, which is not bad in a struggling team. And Takumu Kawamura is also capable of scoring some pretty decent goals. And I don't think it's a coincidence as they were the combination that got the vital goal in this game. I think as long as those two are fit and in decent form, that is a bit like, obviously we're not talking about Utaka levels of ability, but in terms of the influence that they exert on the team, I think it can't be underestimated how important that is. But to be honest, we probably would have said the same about Genki Omae. And like you said, he was missing, wasn't he, for Gunma? So it turns out he was the problem all along. that's a joke, yeah. But I think I share your concerns about Yamaguchi, because I don't think losing a match 3-0 should ever be a surprise to any of the teams in the bottom sort of third of the table. I think that can happen anytime, but it was the manner of the defeat, I think, where they looked pretty ragged at the back from start to finish. And even though Gunma did play well and scored good goals from their point of view, I thought the defending, especially on the third goal where, I'm not sure who number two is, the right back, but if you watch the replay, he is sort of just, I think he's lost his bearings completely. Now, and if he is a right back and he's in the right back position, that is troubling. He should know. He should have a fair idea of what's going on around him if he's in the right position. So, I think just everything went wrong.
Well, I think most of those goals after they conceded, they're all kind of standing around looking at each other, right? Who's at fault? Who did what? Where am I meant to be? Kind of thing. Like,
well, yeah, I think they just lost. I think they just lost the lost their heads completely, didn't they? And that is not what you want to see. I think losing a one-off game 3-0 is absolutely fine if the other team scores 3 brilliant goals. But to have contributed to your own downfall in that manner will be concerning, I think. But we should say well done to Gunma. It's not often that they win 3-0. And I can't remember the last time they were 3-0 up at the break in a match. So they should definitely enjoy that. And again, it will give them a bit of a boost to take into the remainder of the season, won't it? So Richie, brilliant stuff. Thanks for all your insight and analysis. It's been helping me out. It will be a very impossible job to kind of go through all 11 fixtures alone. So thank you for holding my hand this week. And I think especially because there were only seven games last week for Johnny and I to go through. So having 11 back on, so it was like good and bad, wasn't it? It was a bit of a mammoth journey. So thanks for
that. I lucked out, didn't I?
I would just say quickly, just notice something that for our bottom three, Kitakyushu, Omiya, and Sagamihara, they've all played 26 games, right? But Tochigi still only 25 games, Matsumoto only 25 games, Gunma 25 games, Kanazawa 24 games. So a lot of the teams above them have still got an extra game as well. So that's, you know, even more work for them to do, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that does make it interesting psychologically as well, doesn't it? Because when you're a team at the top with a game in hand, you automatically add 3 points to what you've got. But if you're a team at the bottom and you've got a game in hand, you mentioned goal difference potentially being important, you start thinking the other way. And you start thinking, well, what if we lose the game in hand? How many goals do we lose it by? It's fascinating stuff. I think just before we finish, Richie, if it's okay, talking about games in hand brings me as smoothly as we possibly can onto the upcoming fixtures. So just talking about midweek J2 for this week, on Wednesday night this week, August the 25th, we have a couple of rearranged games, don't we? So Kanazawa are hosting Nagasaki. I think that's the game from round 24 that was postponed in the thunderstorm, was it? Or the typhoon, maybe? I think that was a typhoon postponement. So, yeah, Kanazawa against Nagasaki from round 24. And then, yes, Tochigi against Gunma, which is a huge game at the bottom of the table. That game was postponed because of some COVID protocol issues with Gunma 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, Tochigi against Gunma. On Wednesday night, I think Gunma on that four-game unbeaten run. Tochigi not in the best form. It's going to be a probably not one for the purists, but a fascinating match, isn't it, I think, on Wednesday night.
And I think Tochigi usually have the better of them, don't they, against Kuma. I think they've got the better record, so yeah.
Yeah, the irresistible force versus the immovable object, perhaps we'll see. Yeah, I'm sure Kanazawa against Nagasaki as well. I mean, Kanazawa still need a couple of wins, don't they, I think, to be safe. And Nagasaki, yeah, obviously, I don't think have quite given up on you know, going as high as they can, putting some pressure on the top two. So that should be a good game as well. I'll just pick your brains quickly on the weekend games, Richie, if that's okay. So we've got round 27 coming up this weekend. The majority of the games are going to be on Saturday, August the 28th. I think 7 games on Saturday. So just to run through them briefly, Jeff Chiba hosts Nagasaki. We have Kyoto hosting Tokyo Verde, so second place Kyoto hosting mid-table Tokyo Verde, who are ninth. Ryukyu take on Akita. We have Mito against Niigata, so that's 10th place hosting third place Niigata. The leaders, Iwata, it's top against bottom. Yeah, Iwata hosting Sagamihara, who are 22nd. What could possibly go wrong? And Yamaguchi against Yamagata, the sort of game which doesn't always fit on one line on my type
sheet. The Yama Derby.
A Yama Derby, yeah. What's going to happen? Yeah, Yamaguchi against Yamagata. And Kita Kyushu hosting Okayama is the last game on the Saturday slate. And then 4 games on Sunday, August the 29th, and a couple of big ones at the bottom again. Omiya against Matsumoto at NAC 5. I mean, in previous seasons, it's been a playoff battle, but this year it's a relegation 6-pointer and no mistake. We also have Gunma hosting Kanazawa. Depending on what these sides do in their rearranged games on Wednesday night, this game could be even more significant, couldn't it? But I think Gunma again are going to be desperate for the points to help them to move away from the relegation zone. Kanazawa are going to be desperate to avoid a defeat. Also on Sunday, Machida against Kofu. And another big 6-pointer, right? Ehime against Tochigi. What to make of these games? Richie, where should we be focusing our attention this weekend? Apart from Gifu against Fukushima in J3, obviously.
Wow, of course that. But definitely for me, there's only one. Matsumoto versus Omiya. These are the two teams that any neutral want to see drop to J3. And that's a compliment to them because they're big clubs. And they'll bring fans to J3. Not long ago, these teams were in J1. So that's a huge game. Like, 6-point, as you say. Are they going to go for the win? Are they going to go for the draw for damage limitation? Well, maybe Matsumoto might be content with a draw, just keeping Omiya at bay. Omiya will have to go for the win. That is going to be a good game. I'm really looking forward to that one. And also, I think Tochigi Ehime, you said, will just be good, interesting game. I think Tochigi too will have been played an extra game for the midweek game, so that will be interesting. Maybe Ehime might have a slight advantage there. I think on the other side of the coin, Mito and Niigata, I think there could be an upset in that one. I think Niigata, if they really are challenging for this promotion, they have to win that game. And if they don't, I will doubt their credentials. How about yourself? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I think last week when Johnny and I talked about Mito hosting Kyoto, and we said that could be a tricky match for Kyoto. Because Mito had been really impressive in beating Ryukyu the previous round. So I agree. I think Mito beating anybody at home doesn't surprise me. And I think in a way that the fact that they didn't beat Kyoto means Niigata should be quite worried. I think Mito will ask them some questions, and Niigata not being in the best of form recently. But yeah, I think I tend to agree with you. I think Omiya and Matsumoto is huge on Sunday because they are two teams that, I don't know if I'd say they lack bottle, that might not be fair, but they certainly lack the ability to grab games by the scruff of the neck, both of these sides. And I think the first goal is just going to be so important in that match. That's going to make it interesting. I'll perhaps give a shout out to Gunma and Kanazawa on Sunday. Because I think that has also the potential to have implications. If Gunma can win that, you know, and have back-to-back home wins, obviously depending on what they've done away at Tochigi in midweek, but they could be on a run of, just one defeat in six that's pretty good form to be going into a kind of relegation run-in, isn't it? For the rest of the games, yeah, I don't know. Jeff against Nagasaki, for some reason, it interests me. Cause I think, you know, Nagasaki, one of these days, they're going to click and score a lot of goals in one match. And recently, Jeff have been, despite the fact that they persist with Zhao Mingyu at centre-back, they've actually been quite tight defensively, even though he is prone to rash decision-making. So yeah, that has the potential to be interesting, I think. But that's just a hunch. I don't really have any hard data to go on. But yeah, I think if I had to pick one, I'd probably Omiya Matsumoto on Sunday is the one to watch, isn't it, I think.
It is. But we'll see with the COVID situation. Is it 5,000? Only 5,000 people allowed at Omiya at this stage? That could make a difference too, couldn't it? You know, normally Matsumoto would have the big fan, a lot of travelling fans with them that could just help them that little bit extra. But
yeah, probably. I guess even with the 5,000, yeah, there's no away tickets being sold, right? So even if there are 5,000 fans in the stadium, they'll all be, in theory, Omiya supporters. So Richie, thanks for your analysis. It's always interesting to get together and chat and hear what you've made of the J2 season so far. Hopefully we can get you back on in a few rounds time and sort of see how things have progressed or not, depending on which team we're talking about. Yeah, but thanks for your time. It's much appreciated.
No, you're welcome, John, and everyone, thanks for listening, and enjoy your weekend. J3 coming up again this weekend, finally. I know you've all been waiting, everyone. I definitely have been, but we've got a lot going on, don't we? So
yeah, good point. Yes, and I think yeah, for patrons, the sort of J3 restart preview pod with myself and Stuart should be out now for patrons, and hopefully by the time you're listening to this, it should be on the general you know, the free feed as well. So if you do need a kind of a refresher course on the state of play in J3, it's probably worth listening to that chat between me and Stuart, or even the J3 sort of season so far review pods that Mike Innes and I did earlier this month as well. But yeah, I echo Rich's sentiments. Thanks as always for giving us a listen and a download, and if you support us on Patreon or support the J-Talk podcast on Patreon, we really appreciate that as well. But yes, I'm just repeating what Rich has said here, so it's probably a good point to finish on. But yeah, enjoy your football coming up this weekend, and yeah, we'll be back again next week to review the action in J2, and I think Mike Innes is going to be back with the J-Talk short corner reviewing the J3, the big J3 restart as well. But that's all for us for now. Yeah, enjoy your weekend's football, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.